I'm certain item number 211, please.
Proclaim March 2018 to be Women's History Month in Portland.
So, colleagues, this is a proclamation in support of Women's History Month, and I have a proclamation that it is my great honor to read, and I appreciate everybody who is here for this uplifting opportunity. Whereas this community's greatness and success is a direct result of welcoming and empowering all people, regardless of gender, culture, class, age, religion, ethnicity, sexual orientation, and disability. Whereas women, especially women of color, have been underrepresented, oppressed, and often unrecorded in their contributions, yet women have been present in untold or oral histories and continue to play important roles in furthering knowledge and leading equitable change for society. And whereas, to foster the next generation of women, the City of Portland seeks to encourage and support professional, educational, and social opportunities for women, where women will not compete with one another over scarce seats at the table, rather when there is an inclusive space for all women to participate and commitment to draw in women of color, women are empowered to lead and benefit entire communities. Whereas Women's History Month is a time for all Portlanders to celebrate the paid and unpaid hard work of women who improve the livability of the city, working both inside and outside of the home. And whereas during Women's History Month, all people are encouraged to reflect on past victories and struggles of all women to create a society where the next generation's success is based on the content of their character, not determined by their culture or gender. And whereas the 2018 National Women's History Month theme is "Nevertheless, She Persisted." And whereas in Portland, the Women's History Month theme is "Nevertheless, We Persist," which demonstrates a more timely, inclusive vision for women, transgender women, and gender nonconforming individuals. And now, therefore, I, Ted Wheeler, Mayor of the City of Portland, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim March 1st to March 31st, 2018, to be Women's History Month in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this month. It is now my honor to bring up a panel of speakers. We have Michelle Hansman, Janine Gates, and Tiffany Penson. And Michelle, it's my understanding you're going to open us up today. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor and members of City Council. My name is Michelle Hansman, and I am a constituent services specialist focusing on Portland Parks and Recreation within Commissioner Amanda Fritz's office. As a passionate feminist, I am proud to serve on the Women's Empowerment Leadership Team, and am pleased to provide this introduction for our panel of speakers this morning. The National Women's History Month theme is "Nevertheless, She Persisted," a quote adopted by the feminist movement in the United States, derived from the instance in 2017 when Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell attempted to silence Senator Elizabeth Warren's objections to the confirmation of Senator Jeff Sessions as U.S. Attorney General. In Portland, the Women's Empowerment Group has decided to declare the theme for Women's History Month to be "Nevertheless, We Persist," honoring women who fight all forms of discrimination against women. Rather than recognize an instance of a prominent female politician being publicly shamed, we wanted an inclusive theme to celebrate moments when all women, transgender women, and gender nonconforming individuals fight forms of discrimination against women. The mission of women's empowerment, referred to as WE, is to empower and inspire all women within the City of Portland workforce in a supportive, non-judgmental way. Our vision is to create equity in the City of Portland, leading with the elimination of disparities affecting all who identify as women in city workforce. We is a diverse and empowered employees of Portland, referred to as DEEP, affinity group of 207 members and growing. The WE leadership team includes four women whose dedication, drive, energy, and enthusiasm make our events possible. The women on the leadership team are Francesca Patricolo, Natalie Luttrell, Sarah Brenner, and myself. We work hard to create quarterly educational and social events for our members. We appreciate the financial support from DEEP and our members for their support and attendance at our events. Without further ado, four amazing women who work for the City of Portland are here to share their stories of persistence.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Morning. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you all today and for celebrating Women's History Month. I am Janine Gates and also a Constituent Services Specialist in Commissioner Fritz's office. I serve on the DEEP Executive Committee, and I'm a member of DEEP Affinity Groups, City African American Network, and Women Empowerment. Today, I plan to discuss a few of my experiences as a Black woman navigating our political systems. Growing up, I wasn't involved in politics. I didn't see a need or have anything to politically advocate for, until my foster mother grew extremely tired of hearing my sister and I complain about the Oregon's foster care system and encouraged us to advocate for our needs. At 14 years old, I joined Oregon's first foster care youth advisory with the Oregon Department of Human Services. After becoming involved in foster care-focused policies and initiatives, I was introduced to Commissioner Saltzman and other elected officials. My interactions with Commissioner Saltzman and volunteering to establish Bridge Meadows, which is an intergenerational living community where youth formerly in foster care, their adopted parents, and elders build a permanent community, introduced me to a power I did not know I had. Advocating for children and ensuring their needs were met was the biggest motivation I needed to continue my path as a political activist. I knew I was making a difference. While in college, I interned in Commissioner Saltzman's office and learned firsthand about our city's political environment. After my first summer internship in Commissioner Saltzman's office, I knew I wanted to run for office. I remember telling my 18-year-old self, I can do Dan's job. Currently, I am working hard to join Portland City's Council and appreciate my trainings with Emerge Oregon, where I can learn what it takes to successfully operate a campaign and meet other women who are interested in running for office. I look forward to joining you all one day. Reasons I would like to run for office is because I believe in the importance of diversity, whether it is one's age, culture, lived and work experiences, or sexual orientation, as well as I am passionate about East Portland, transportation, planning, and living in a city that welcomes, inspires, and uplifts all individuals. Lastly, I would like to thank Commissioner Fritz for supporting my professional development, participation on DEEP, and allowing me to sit at tables where Black women are not seen. I appreciate your support, Commissioner.
Thank you.
That was really good.
Thank you.
You can tell I'm kind of the eldest. I'm looking at them.
Wondering, is there an announcement to be made here?
No announcement.
Really close.
We'll be collecting checks during the break.
I got excited. Hello, Mayor and members of Council. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Tiffany Penson, and I grew up in Northeast Portland. My father, Big John, owned a barbershop called The House of Style on Union Avenue, where many of the Black community members, musicians, professional athletes, got the best haircuts and processes in town. His barbershop was so hot that even Robert Kennedy visited during his campaign trail in 1968. It was truly a community. I remember how my father used to help families, making sure kids had the things that they needed for school, holidays, food. While my home life consisted of my community and people that looked like me, I spent my years in schools like OMSI, Catlin Gable, St. Mary's Cathedral, Lincoln High School, University of Oregon, exposed to privilege and people that didn't look like me. It's funny how the mere crossing of a bridge can expose you to a different world of education, experiences, and opportunities, all of which I am grateful for. but I know clearly that the same exposure was not accessible to other members in my community. Walking in both worlds has contributed to my work at the city and has been helpful in providing opportunities for people of color and historically underserved communities. Through my work with Mayor Adams' education team developing Summer Youth Connect program, managing the SummerWorks program currently housed in Mayor Wheeler's office, managing the Minority Evaluator program that invites community members to serve on panels and award contracts, and serving as a supplier diversity officer charged with identifying minority and women-owned small businesses, connecting them to contracting opportunities at the city, I know the city is headed in the right direction. I believe the city has made some strides in our social equity contracting initiatives. However, there's a lot more to do. My wish list to share with you to enhance these efforts looks like this. A new disparity study so that the city can move from aspirational minority and women contracting goals to hard contracting goals in identified areas. Examining the processes and requirements to do business with the city to ensure that they aren't seen as roadblocks that negatively impact our small businesses, and make the contracting and how to do business outreach trainings offered mandatory for project managers that manage the city's projects to ensure that our staff have the tools to set their projects up for success and meet the social equity expectations. I am grateful for my time and experience at the City of Portland, but I would be remiss not to mention that we still struggle with including the voices of the communities that are most impacted early on in the processes and the decisions we make. We need not worry so much about making sure things are done in a certain time frame that we forgo what is right or making good on our intentions. Authentic inclusion is essential to establishing policy that truly serves all people. Staff should feel empowered and understand that all of us are in positions to make change to better serve our communities. So I challenge us to be truly conscious as we institute change. And if you are not sure what a conscious mind looks like, always start with the population that is going to be impacted by the change. We are always a work in progress, and there is no one answer to this work. I truly believe that most of the inequitable things that happen in this world almost always comes from ignorance, and good intentions can do as much harm if they lack true understandings of the issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning, mayors and commissioners. Thank you for having me here today. For the record, my name is Betsy Kitawa, and I'm a constituent services specialist at Commissioner Nick Fish's office. I've been working for Commissioner Fish since I was 19 years old, but started as an intern for the City Bureau of Environmental Services. Believe it or not, this is my first time testifying today, and the adrenaline is...
Suspend the rules.
I'm proud to say that I'm also a 2017 alumna for the Center for Women's Leadership, New Leadership Oregon, summer program, and I currently serve on their alumni committee. I study mechanical engineering at Portland Community College, and I hope to transfer to Portland State University within the next year. Being not only a woman, but a woman of color in a white male society has shaped and impacted me the way I am today. In many of my engineering classes, starting in high school, I'm regularly the only representation for women. You'd think I'd be used to it now, but I still often question where all the women are in this field. Because of this, I found myself putting on a mask and trying to be one of the guys. I remained quiet during lectures and also found myself doing tons of homework problems alone when it was advised to be completed in groups. According to Society of Women Engineers, SWE, 20% of engineering graduates are women. For decades, engineering educators have focused on curriculum reform, promoting girls' interest in math and science to attract more women to the field. While these efforts brought in women to study engineering, the problem is that many quit during and after school. Approximately 1 in 4 women leave the engineering profession within the first 5 years, a rate much higher than our counterparts. It's because of the masculinity culture in engineering. I too often have questioned and considered to quit my studies of engineering to pursue a career that was more fitting, whatever that means. The biggest problem I had was self-doubt and lack of confidence. But because of my participation at recent events, leadership trainings, numerous workshops, and the support of amazing women, the only problem I have now is patience. Patience with discrimination and a society that sits put with oppression. Change is coming, and I do believe that Portland is inclusively heading in the right direction because our leaders, you all, are aware of the lack of representation of women. In 2015, the Portland Water Bureau hired their first female chief engineer, and that's a big win for us. I take it personally and don't doubt there will be more opportunities such as this one. I do not have the statistics for the city of Portland, but I've been here long enough to examine the increasing numbers of women hires, especially women of color in leadership and STEM positions. The women and I testifying today are part of the next generation of leaders. We are the future chief engineers, scientists, elected officials, you name it. So I ask council today for more opportunities for us and for women, whether it's mentorship opportunities, better equipped leadership trainings, I ask for more opportunities. Now I'm going to end with one of my favorite quotes. It comes from writer and filmmaker Nora Ephron, and I'd like to direct this to all the women listening. Whatever you choose, however many roads you travel, I hope that you choose not to be a lady. I hope you will find some way to break the rules and make a little trouble out there. And I also hope that you would choose to make some of that trouble on behalf of women. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Betsy.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. I'm Ashley Jaden, a native Oregonian. I work for the Water Bureau, and I specialize in equitable outreach. I'm proudly here with the support of my manager, Eddie Campbell, and Dee. We persist against all discrimination. This theme speaks to me on a personal level. My dad's family is from Indonesia, my grandfather a child soldier. My grandparents were swept up in the Crossfire War, and in turn because of their ethnicity. In a camp lacking human rights, enough food, clean water, and safe shelter, my grandmother had her children. My grandparents met unspoken horrors and trauma, but when they came to the United States as refugees, our city made space just for them. Persisting has become difficult lately. I know I'm not alone, but 2017 was a rough year. Our 45th brought the acceleration of vicious language and acts of hatred. We all have our migration story. Some Portlanders came here by land bridge. Some council members' families and ancestors came here on the Oregon Trail. People have always moved towards something better. Just as the city welcomed your family and mine, I'm proud that we, the city of Portland, welcome immigrants and refugees, and we are a sanctuary city. As we greet our new Portlanders, let's ask ourselves, what kind of city do we want to live in? Imagine Portland in 20 years. Are there people of color in leadership? How did they get there? Are we fighting discrimination of all kinds? Recently, Michelle Obama said of young women, they're tired of watching us do the same old things and expect different results. The city strives towards equity. My colleague, Jamila Meeks, of the Water Bureau's North Interstate Facility, planned a Women's Month TED Talk in the late afternoon. When I questioned, not over lunch, she replied, no mistake, that's when field crews return. Jamila's simple idea, an event beyond downtown in the late afternoon, made Women's History Month more accessible to our field and construction crews. We must cultivate women of color. At last year's proclamation, I learned from Nan Stark that women make 79 cents to the dollar of men. Data now shows that Latina women make 54 cents to the dollar of white men. Public or private, no matter the workplace, the lived experience is different for women of color, gender nonconforming women, and mothers. We need culturally competent women leaders. Data shows us there are fewer women of color in management, despite being just as capable. Luckily, I found Corbett White at the Water Bureau. She models hard work ethic, political savvy, strong communication, and a successful career. Young women like myself need women like Corbett to demonstrate the way. Mayor Wheeler and Council, I applaud your support to hire women of color to lead the city. And our community has noticed your actions as well. Going back to my family, we always have extra food at the table and extra seats. We support others the way this city made room for us. You see, the children of immigrants feel pressure to prove that their parents' struggle was worth it. As I've said before, I am, as you are, our ancestors' wildest dreams. I thank you for the privilege to speak before you today.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Go back to Michelle.
We are proud to announce a full calendar of events this month, and we encourage you all to attend. A few activities include the annual Wonder Woman Awards, panel discussions on topics including women in leadership and women of color, a women's clothing swap, a Dress for Success clothing drive, a book discussion, women's strength self-defense classes, social hours, film, yoga, and art classes. We invite all council members to participate in events and show your support. You can visit our website at portlandoregon.gov/deep/we for the full list of events, and I would be happy to send that link to you. Thank you for listening to what we shared today. We welcome your comments and questions.
Excellent. Thanks. Colleagues? Commissioner Fish?
Mayor, thank you for bringing this proclamation forward. I want to congratulate all the women leaders who testified this morning and who work for the city and do such great work. I want to just on this occasion acknowledge a few other people. I'd like to acknowledge my wife, who's the first professor of women's history at Portland State University.
Awesome.
And so she broke through a certain barrier. I want to thank and acknowledge my 25-year-old daughter, who is a leader in her own right and making her way in a very challenging world. I want to thank the three women that I have the privilege of serving with, Amanda, Chloe, and Mary. Three of the six elected offices at the city of Portland are now occupied by women. That could change in the next year. And we're very fortunate to have such great role models in our community. I want to thank my chief of staff, Sonia Schmansky, who without whose leadership I would be completely lost. And I would like to thank the four women of color who serve on my staff, Mariana, Asena, Amira, and Betsy. I think Betsy did a beautiful job speaking for young women generally who work at the city. And Betsy, if that was your first foray into testifying before city council, I think you set the bar very high. Those were beautiful remarks, and we're very proud of you in my office. And we hope as you make your way and get your degree in engineering, we hope you'll look at the city as a first-choice employer. So thank you, Mayor. Thank you for highlighting this, and it's an honor to be part of this celebration.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody. This was probably the best proclamation presentation I've seen in 20 years of city council. Very powerful testimony. I want to thank Tiffany, Janine, Betsy. Sorry, I forgot your
Ashley.
Name. Ashley, Michelle, for doing such an outstanding job and really telling it like it is, and that the struggle still continues. And coming from the engineering profession myself, I fully identify with everything you say, Betsy, and I want to see it change as much as you do.
Yeah.
And Janine, you make me very proud to have been your boss at one time, and for the recognition that at age 18 you could do my job probably better than I could. And I know you'll get there with my help and support all along the way. And you've always been an important voice for children in foster care, too. And, you know, you can talk about all the negative statistics in the world that foster kids face, and they are daunting, particularly going to college. You know, fewer than 1 in 5 actually go to college like Janine did and graduate. And I know she has higher aspirations both educationally and in public service, and I want to see all of those come to fruition. But thank you all.
Commissioner Fritz.
So I greatly appreciate the six women on my staff, two of whom presented today. Thank you very much for representing us all. I do look forward to the day when we won't need a Women's History Month or a Men's History Month or a Black History Month, but rather that there would be just equity throughout our community and that we wouldn't have to celebrate. And, yeah, it's good to celebrate, too. I do want to note that there are twice as many women running for Congress this year compared with 2016. Over 500 women are nationwide or running for public office in the midterms. We only have 20% of the seats in Congress. And for a long time, for my generation, it was like, well, in my lifetime, it's not going to get to parity. But with your example, I think maybe we will.
Yes, you do.
Thanks for sharing your stories. It's great to learn personal details about people we see in the hallways every day. And I think it helps humanize all of us. And I will never get over the fact, I've said it many times, I'm only the eighth woman to be elected to Portland City Council. Commissioner Fritz is the seventh. And I hope that every election year, you see that number tick up. So, and maybe one of those numbers will be Janine.
I'd just like to thank you for the presentation. I thought it was great. It was very informative. Tiffany, you'd mentioned a couple of very specific items that I'd like to pursue. Offline, you had suggested a call for a new diversity study and some shoring up of our procurement strategies. I think we have an interesting opportunity here, given that we're doing a search for the director of the Office of Equity and Diversity, and I think these two questions are neatly intertwined. And so I think the timing is excellent for us to have that conversation. And I'd like to do that prior to the budget process getting too much farther along, if we could do that. And I just want to say, you know, when I went out to hire my leadership team in the mayor's office, I had one criteria. And the criteria was I wanted the best people I could get to work for us. And as luck would have it, we have more than half of our leadership team in the mayor's office are women. And of the women, three quarters are women of color. And so I think that is a view to what the future holds in terms of leadership in this city. And I want to thank everybody who is involved on my team, but everybody really throughout the city of Portland who works so hard. And I'm glad that we do have this opportunity to acknowledge that impressive body of work. So thank you all for being here. If you don't mind, the City Council would love to have a photo with all of you who right up here in front, if that's all right.
We got to start all over.